unleashed, as it were. He's coming, there's no stopping him, and that the nation, Israel, Judah and Jerusalem, are going to have to face him. And that is an awesome thing in the light of verse 6:23. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel. They have no mercy. Their voice roaring like the sea. They ride upon horses, set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. So they're coming in a great horde. They're all lined up. They're coming fast, furious. They're merciless. No mercy. And if you read a little history and remember back yesterday and on many occasions in many places, cruelty and what they did to the people in different areas, conflicts, was awesome. You wouldn't want to be there. Thus, we just get blown up with a bomb. It's all over. But when they do the other, it's a different story. So now, here in chapter 6 then, we went down and we came to verse 27. And in verse 27, Jeremiah is given an assignment. He has an assignment, and he is to be exercising that assignment. And he is in charge. He is the one who's going to exercise his ministry, of course. And that ministry is going to be exercised and very public. Everyone is going to be aware of it, especially in that day. So that his ministry is very public, and his pronouncements, his warnings, what's going to happen, and his judgment based on God's working in his heart and head is going to happen. And it is absolutely legit. He is going to test Israel. He is a tester of Israel. And Israel fails the test dramatically. Thus, so we come to verse 27. And Jeremiah is strengthened for his assignment, as you know. He is going to be speaking to a very rebellious people, and he is set to do so. And in verse 27, God, putting it out in front of us, I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people. I have set thee, and the word set means to stretch out, to give, to lay in front, to hand over. I have put you out in front of the people. I have put you out in front of the people. And for a tower. Now the word tower, the word that you're looking at there on tower, has to do with a tower, a watchtower. A tower where they would get up and spy, examine, where they'd have a military post examining. And it's used twice here and then in Isaiah 23. Tower. Now, that's the only place it's used twice. Then you go to the verb where that tower comes from, and that is the word in verse 27, the word verb to try, T-R-Y. So we're going to go to that, but I just want to get where the tower comes from. And that's the basis of it. So this tower, this place, this that stands out, watchtower, as it were, a place for spying, a place for examining. That's what it was for. And thus the word, to examine, to prove, to test, to judge. So Jeremiah is, God has placed him in front. His assignment is to be a tower, a judge, an examiner, like a watchtower, a god on a watchtower, looking out at the enemy, looking out at the people, making a judgment. making a judgment call. And that's what he's doing, the word tower. Now, so then we go to the next word. Not only is God put Jeremiah out in front, as it were, very public, to Israel and nations, if they wish to know, and he's a tower, a watchtower. It's no question that he's an examiner, warning, no question about that. And he is a fortress. And thus the word fortress is a fortified city, a stronghold, a citadel, a fortress. That's used, a stronghold. The city is a fenced city. You'll read it many times. Fenced, all walled up, all blocked up, wall, very well protected city. And thus you have, in the process of that, this tower and city, the watchtower. And as you're looking at it here, in verse 27, you want to keep in mind, if you would, you'll catch it over and just to see it a little differently. Well, let's do it differently. Oh, he's a watchtower. Let's pin that down. He's a fortress, fortified city, as it were. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. And picking up, if I can, in Jeremiah chapter 1. And picking up, please, in verse 17. Thou there, remember now, Jeremiah is given an assignment. He wishes he didn't have to have it, but he does. God gave it to him, and God expected him to fulfill it. And he did. Verse 17. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces. Remember, he's talking. The people aren't going to be happy. Jeremiah is up there to examine them. And they don't want to be examined. Not like that. Not by him. Not by God. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. So Jeremiah needs to be straighter, stronger, steadier than they are. They may shake their fist and fire 4 bullets. Jeremiah will shake his fist and fire 6 bullets. Jeremiah is going to beat whatever they do. And that's what Jeremiah must start off with. He's all alone, and he's going to beat. The whole system is against him now, Judah and Jerusalem. And he's going to win. But he has to know that. And he can't get afraid. He can't back down. He can't back off. He can't be like Elijah, killing 850 prophets, coming down in a... He ran a long marathon to get back to Jezebel. Jezebel, lonely woman in her authority as queen, said, I'm going to kill you. And then he ran some more. He didn't need to run from Jezebel, but he did. Jeremiah can't run. Elijah could run. God never told Elijah that. But he did tell Jeremiah, you stand your ground. You give up the ground, and I'm going to have them come after you. So you either beat them, or they're going to beat you. That's the way it is. Now, thus you come. God, that's an awesome thing. But, verse 18, for behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city. That's the word fortified. He's a tower and a fortress. He is. God made him a fortress. You don't have to go in a wall. Jeremiah is the wall. You don't have to go in the fort. He is the fort. He is, all by his lonesome. Now, behold, I have made thee. There's the same verb, by the way, that you have in chapter 2, chapter 6 and verse 27 of Jeremiah. And behold, and that's important because you have the same phrasing. Behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar, brazen walls against who is the opponent? The whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes of Judah, against the priests of Judah, against the people of the land. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. Why? For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. I have made you a tower and a fortress. You have an assignment. You're going to give a verdict. You're going to make a judgment of this people. You're going to be the voice to make the judgment on my behalf, so that no one will ever say, God, if you just gave him another chance. Now, so thus over to chapter 4. And in chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 5. Remember, Jerusalem, Judah, the people, were having to run, keep running southward. Nebuchadnezzar's coming from the north. They're running down from the south, and they're trying to escape, trying to get, because they aren't. God tells them, you better get down. You're not going to be able to fight. And they go to one defensed city after another. Every place where there's a shelter, a wall, to protect them. And you'll notice, as they go down, chapter 4 and verse 5, declare ye in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land, warn them, cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, let us go, this is their word to each other, let us go to the defensed cities. Let's go to where there's a fortified city. Jeremiah is a fortified city. I thought it was snowing for a minute. You couldn't see that, could you? No. Huh. Be interesting, wouldn't it, if it was snow? I mean, I have to tell you. It's probably some creature crawling up there and just disturbed stuff. Now, having disturbed the rest of this, we'll try again. In Jeremiah and in chapter 4, verse 5, they are fleeing to find shelter. Jeremiah doesn't have to go anywhere for shelter. Over, if you would, in chapter 5. Chapter 5, and in verse 17. And they shall eat up thine harvest, they're coming, and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. They shall eat up thy flocks and thine herds. They shall eat up thy vines and thy fig trees. They shall impoverish thy fenced cities. So all the shelter and all the protection you're looking to have will be useless. You're looking to make it with all the different solutions, and God said you're going to go to the defense city, which is logical, but there is no city that will withstand Nebuchadnezzar's thrust over Jerusalem. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. And therefore, in the end of verse 17, thy fenced cities wherein thou trusteth with the sword. You're going to trust that you can be protected in that defense city and that you'll be able to survive in that city. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over in tower and city, over, if you would please, in chapters 6, verse 27. And we have the tower and the fortress. Jeremiah is well prepared to handle his assignment, no question. And in verse 27, the reason that thou mayest know, that you may know, that you may know. The word to perceive, to experience, to discover mentally, to discover with your personal senses. You're going to have a personal experience. You're going to have a wonderful, wonderful exercise, and it's going to be personal, and you're going to learn from it. It isn't out here, it isn't separated from you. What you're going to do, you are going to be a beneficiary of the experience. In what way? How so? That you may know, and you may try, to put to the test, to examine is the root verb, to try, to prove, to test, and that's the word for tower, the root of it anyway, that thou mayest know and try, then try their way. You're going to try their ways. You're going to be an assayer. You're going to go and be one that tests the metal in the furnace. Someone brings it in to see if there's anything good in it. And I want you to go to be the one to test it as an assayer. I want you to test Israel. You've been testing it. I want you to find, as an assayer, humanly, so they can see, I want you to test the people to see if you find any gold, silver, anything in them. Is it all dross? All nothing? Is there anything there? Before I judge them, is there anything in Israel that to save right now? Is there anything that I should not judge them? And thus, and to try their ways, to put them to the test, to examine, etc., to prove them, to test them by fire, as it were. So now, I'm going to do that. Jeremiah's assignment, that's his assignment. Now, over to chapter 9. Chapter 9, if you would. And you're going to pick up our little verb. We're going to let it sort of grow. To test. He's an assayer, an examiner, a tester. Well, how does it work out? Chapter 9, and if I may, in verse 7 directly. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try, there's your word, to examine, to put to the test, to the proof, and try them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people? What am I going to do with them? In what way can I help them? Do you understand their condition is terrible? And Jeremiah is going to be the front man representing God. God is going to do the testing. And Jeremiah is going to be the one that you can understand what God is doing, testing them. Now, in chapter 17. Chapter 17, and picking up, if I may, the words all through there, I'm just going to get it very quickly for you, if I can. Chapter 17, you're familiar with the statement. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. He shall be like the heath in the desert, he shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit. In other words, you're going to be like an old bush in the middle of the desert, blowing around, and there's not a drop of life in you. If you trust man, they're trusting themselves. They tried to trust Egypt. Nebuchadnezzar's coming. There's no way they're going to win. Thus, verse 9, the heart is deceitful, the heart is deceitful, and above all things, and desperately wicked. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Wicked. Who can know it? Verse 9. Verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try, there's your word, to prove, to test, like Jeremiah is doing. I, the Lord, try. I am the one trying, testing the metal. I'm cooking the content to see if the rock and the stone, if there's any gold, silver, anything of value. Is there anything worth saving in this, with this people? And thus, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, the inside, the guts of a person, as it were, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. I'm going to do this now. Now, God is doing that and did do that with Nebuchadnezzar. A day is coming in the tribulation when God will do it again to test them. Over, if you would, please, all the way into time, into the future. Not too far either. Not too far in your Bible and not too far in the future. Zechariah. Zechariah, if you would, chapter 13, you'll catch it directly. Chapter 13, may pick up, please, chapter 13 and in verse 9. And I will bring, well, even read verse 8 for a little better context. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. So at the end of the tribulation, God's going to judge all the Gentiles, sheep, and God's going to judge all the Jews. Two different judgments, and the Jews are going to be judged. Now, and what about them? What about how many Jews are we going to find that go into the millennium after the tribulation? Verse 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined. And I will try them, put them to the test as gold is tried. They shall call on my name and I will hear them and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. I'm going to find a third of the Jews. What am I? Make these 300. 200 are judged. I'm going to save 100. I'm going to go into the tribulation. That's all. 100 Jews. Now, keeping that in mind, remember the 144,000 are Israelites. So that of the 12 tribes of Israel that survive. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, the future, you judge them, you test them. Here's Jerusalem, and you're testing it before Nebuchadnezzar. Here's the tribulation, you're testing them for before the millennium. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over, if you would, please, in your Bible to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Because I'd like to make it work for you, if I can. God puts him to the test. And Jeremiah is the man being the vehicle. You're, as a believer, you're the examiner. You are before God and men. And men look, and when you believed, if you did, on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you showed that God was right and the world is wrong. You showed that the devil was wrong. You believed that God had every right to judge you. You believed that God had every right to save you. And you say, guilty. And you're right. So anyone wants to say, well, you see, God excuses. No, sir. No, we're all guilty. We're guilty as charged. And we agree with God's verdict and with God's judgment, and we get saved. And we're a testimony to that for everyone to see. Can God save a whosoever? And I hope and trust you're one of them. Now, in the light of that, here we are then, exercise, in our place right now. Psalm 66, Israel, and then applying it to us, of course. Psalm 66, please, picking up, in verse 8. Bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. God, are you able to keep us? I am. For thou, O Lord, for thou, O God, hath proved us, and here's that word, and hath tried us. You put us to the test, that's with Israel, the believing remnant, as silver is tried. We've been tried, and here's the believing heart looking in the days of Hezekiah and thereabout. Here's a remnant looking to God and thanking God they've been put to the test. Hang on. And proof, examined. Thou hast caused men, where? What about the test? Was it an easy thing? No. Nebuchadnezzar's not an easy thing. Tribulation's not an easy thing. This wasn't easy. Just being an Israelite and trying to survive and go through time successfully. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. You did that. God, we would have never known, we would have never discovered the wealthy place. And the wealthy has to do with moist, saturated, and without going into that wonderful section. God, what would you do with the priest that would trust you? What would you do with the people that would trust you? You would make their soul saturated, like a sponge that could hold no more water. I would fill it so it could hold no more. You'll bring us, God, from hardship and everything else into what? A wonderful place of blessing and benefit. You bring us into that so that we have no lack. We're totally saturated. We're wealthy. We're drenched. We can't hold anymore. We're full. God, you do that. Do you know how that would, the believing heart in Israel, they would find that if they would. Verse 13, I will go into the house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. God, I'm going to go and look to you with all my heart. I'm going to go. Now, God, here we are looking to you. And if I may go over to Psalm 26. So the heart, if the heart would believe God, what benefits? But Israel in Jeremiah is not ready to do so as a nation. So here in Psalm 26, may I go verse 1. David said, judge me, O God, for I have walked in mine integrity, looking to you. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. The reason I'm going to succeed is because I'm looking to you. Now, God, in order for me to keep on succeeding, I need to stay in the place that I don't let my old heart nature erupt, grow, develop, and rob me of all that you've given on my in and for my journey on time. Thus, verse 2, examine me, there's your word, put me to the test. Put me on trial. Prove me. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. God, examine and try me. Examine me. Examine me. It's a command. Do so. Examine my heart, God. Do so. Now, you want to connect that so you have it. Put it together. Over in Psalm 139, you know. Psalm 139. And there's no way to escape the presence of God. But what do you know? Knowing that you can't escape the presence of God, knowing that, and knowing that we're to look to God and trust God, then what? Well, when you get through Psalm 139, no way to escape God's wonderful person and presence. So when you come now to verse 23, search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Search me, O God, and try me. There's your verb, a command again. Search me, O God, and try my heart, and know my thoughts. God, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God, if I'm going to goof, I'd like to know ahead of time what I can do to avoid the repercussions of that goof. I would like to know ahead. So if I'm going to make a misstep, I don't want to make it willfully. I would like to know and be a little careful in what I do and where I go. Now, if you would, in the light of that, over to Job 23. David wanted to know, I want you to examine me. Jeremiah is going to examine Israel. But Jeremiah's own heart is already examined, as you'll see. In Job and in chapter 23, you're familiar with it, and I may pick it up directly. Job is going to say it, because Job, like us, Job, God, do you examine? You want to examine Israel? I do. You want to examine David's heart? You do. David, God found a man after his own heart. God's going to examine Hezekiah. God's going to examine Job. And in the process, you know, verse 8, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. I go backward, but I cannot perceive him. I know he's everywhere. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. I would like to be able to see God's reaction and to what I do, what I say, where I go. Verse 10. But he knoweth, even though I can't identify what his reaction is, but he knoweth the way. Remember David said, help, search me, O God, so I walk in the right way in the light of all that's lying in front of me. Verse 10. He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried, put me to the test, on trial, to the proof, I shall come forth as gold. Jeremiah is the assayer, and he's the tester in the fire. Israel is in the fire to see if they can find any good thing, any silver, any gold. Job said, I'm going through to find gold. I'm going through it. I would never know the gold if I didn't go through it. I would never appreciate a wonderful God and Savior here on earth because I'm so full of self. I would never appreciate. But as I learn not to trust myself, as I learn to back down and back away, God, when I look at my heart, in me dwelleth no good thing, like Paul of old. And I don't trust myself. And so I'm forced to look to God. And that's good. Because then when I look to God, I have a comfort, a something. Something. Because I can't escape God. And I live with my old nature, my heart, coming and going, word, thought, and deed. I live with that all the time. So, God, you've got to help me. Job, you're going to help Job? I did. I'm going to help Job. Yes, sir. Going to do so. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would, please, I'm going to be put to the test. Over in chapter 13, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians and chapter 13. Second Corinthians and 13, remembering the examine me, O God, test me. You already know. at least we open ourselves up to the examination so that we're there. We aren't going to shut it off. And remember, the Bible, the Word of God, is written by God. How do you know? 100,000 ways. One of them is, no man would have ever written the 66 books of the Bible. They're all about condemning humanity. And there's no one on this earth that would write like that. Only God. So when you read the Bible, you're reading, when you read the Bible, you're looking for comfort. You're going to find comfort in what kind of way? God is going to put you in touch with the ruggedness of reality. The Bible makes you consider the ruggedness of reality. It isn't made to escape it. It's made to cope with it, not escape it. Now, hang on to that. So here's 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, quickly. And you know, going directly if I can, in chapter 13, verse 5, examine to put on trial, to put to the truth, put to the proof. Examine yourselves. For what? Whether you be in the body of truth, are you resting in the body of truth that is to be believed? Put yourself on trial and test yourself. Test yourself. All right? What am I to know? Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates, unworthy, unapproved. Are you real or aren't you? Is Christ real in you or not? And that's just all over. You don't just think of it. 1 John 5, 12 and all that. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath no life. We didn't talk about whether they were good last week or whether they were whatever. Whether they were a king or a pauper. Didn't make any difference. Is Christ in you or isn't he? That's all. Didn't ask what denomination you were. Didn't ask what you did. Just either you is or you is or you aren't. Is Christ in you or isn't he? Bottom line. Examine. Ah, good. Now I want to do that. All right. Over if you would please. In the light of that. Over to chapter 2 in Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 2. Let's do it a little different way. Hebrews in chapter 2. And picking up, if I can, Hebrews 2, may I go to verse 17, 2 and 17, speaking of our Lord Jesus. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Why? That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Verse 18, 4, in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, put on trial, put to the test, put to the proof. He being tempted, he was tested, and he is able, thus being tested, to succor, to come to the aid, to come to the rescue of them that are also under trial and test. So, God, greater is he that is in you than he's in the world. That's right. So, God, here I am. Am I examine myself? Am I saved? Well, if I'm saved, then I have a wonderful, that's my starting point. If I'm going to examine, I want to know if I'm all right with God. And I can only be all right with God by way of our Lord Jesus Christ, because no one can come to God or get to God apart from his Son. So now I have that part. Overview of chapter 4. So God, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, because I'm not trusting me. In me dwelleth no good thing. I have made a fair judgment. Everything is dross, waste in my life, apart from you. Apart from you, I have no good. So God, you examined. I made an official examination. So there's nothing I can say that makes me good enough to compete with anybody. Especially with the standard of God. And the standard of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the standard. Measure up to him. Well, no one can. That's right. But when I receive him as my Savior, he becomes my righteousness. And so when I examine, self-examination, we examine ourselves. And we don't pass the test. But God, you're looking for what? Is there anything that you can do with us, save us? And there, lo and behold, is the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have received as our personal Savior. And he is able to save us to the uttermost. Now, chapter 4. Therefore, knowing that, and whatever test I'm in, whatever thing I face, he's already done it. So that every test I flunk in, he didn't. He didn't flunk. Every time I failed, he never failed. So I'm not looking for my success, your success. You're looking for his success. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for his success. Did he succeed in covering word, thought, and deed of your whole life? Did he save you? That's the question. Did he or did he not? Did he cover it? And then you examine and say, boy, it isn't me. No, it's him. Wow. Chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, weaknesses, but was in all points tested, put to the proof, put on trial, like as we are, and yet without sin. So that we can come, verse 16, we can come boldly unto the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that isn't because of anything of us. Just think of what we're doing in 6 o'clock and all that. It isn't because of anything in us. It's because we have a unique relationship as sons. And we come. Unique, wonderful relationship. And it isn't because I'm a human son. My father died. But when I got saved, my father can never die. And so the father made me a son in his son. And so I'm always a son. Always a son. So I'm going to come. I'm going to come boldly. But not coming in myself. I'm coming because greater is he that is in me than he's in the world. I'm coming because I'm a son. And the son, has borne every kind of crummy thing I've ever had in my life. He covered it. He's been through it. He's paid the price officially before God. So now we're able to come to God in this unique and most wonderful way, in a way that honors God. So now, over to James, right next door. James, if I may. Picking up, please, chapter 1. We're looking at our little word, examine, test. Put yourself on trial. Verse 2. Brethren, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall. Going down the corridor, like you read in Psalm 66, we had everything happen to us, said Israel, but you know everything from one thing to the next, and we somehow survived and kept going. And you know, God, we finally got it straight, a little straighter, that you are able to bring us into a wealthy place, a wonderful, wonderful fullness. But we had to go through poverty. We had to go through bankruptcy to understand our bank richness. How could we understand how rich we were till we understand how poor we are? Because then you try to use your poverty to pay your bills, your thoughts, your words, your deeds. You try to handle your problems with your poverty and not your riches. Now, so James, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers various kinds of testings, putting to the proof, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, that you'll be able to keep on going and keep on succeeding in a most wonderful, wonderful way, and God would help you all the way, all the way. God would do that. God would do that for you. And thus in verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth, endures, bears up under all these trials and tests. Blessed is the guy. The guy, the gal, the man, the woman, the boy, the girl. You fumble, you get through school, and you flunk, and you fail, and you get kids over here, and kids over there, and this, you got to overcome this, and got to overcome that. And that's how you get exercise. That's exercise. Hebrews chapter 5. And that's when you exercise, like in the gym, good and evil, and you learn it. You learn it at 4 years old, 5 years old, 15 years old. You're learning. You get 20 years old, you're learning. 25, you're learning. You're learning, you're learning, you're learning, you're learning. That's how it happens. Wow, you get well exercised if you do. And thus, blessed, blessed, happy is the person that endures temptation, putting to the test. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. God, here we are looking, going down the corridor of time, and we're going to go and look to you and trust you. And God, we are, you examine Israel. You examined Israel in a very personal way, very public way, by way of Jeremiah the prophet, among others, Habakkuk, etc. And you examined Israel. You examine your people and make them a testimony like Job. And Job is a wonderful testimony throughout history of God's saving grace and God's wonderful care to bring him in trial, like Jeremiah 34, to bring him in trial to a full end, see, to fully accomplish, to bring it to a fullness. Wow. That's what God does. Well, God does that. He does. He does. Job, fine gold. Not, you're going to come to the throne of grace, and you're going to come and look to God, so that what? When you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be able to say, to you be the honor and glory. The wood, hay, and stubble has to go. But, the gold and the silver and the precious stones, that stays. That God is what you produced in helping me exercise so that I could discover the unique, wonderful place that I had in you, and that you would develop me in your Son. And now here I am in forever to spend the rest of forever timelessness to develop as a Son. What do you think? We'll pray. Oh, no, we'll pray and pray a request, and then we'll pray. You may have a particular request. Hope you got a little bit. God does it, and just have to say, boy, I'm not going to get involved. Boy, I want to get involved. You know, a smelter, the crucible, the heated up. And you're going to see next time with the lead. Going to add lead in there. We're going to have to melt lead to try to help discover if there's anything in there. Not just cook it. You're going to have to put, anyway. Difference. Got the idea. Yes.